Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Benyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, a somewhat well-known homosexual, at least pretty much famous in his circles in different metropolitan areas on the East Coast, who we've shared the gospel with over all the years we've been on the air, 30 years, now and then, in person, on the phone, on and off. This morning, he repeated a prayer, passages out of the Bible, acknowledging salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Very significant. Of course, we can't know someone's heart, not instantly anyway, but we are so excited about this, and I'll talk about it more in a few minutes. A church near Denver Bible Church, Applewood Baptist, yesterday, their message after the election was, regardless of how dark the times, we preach the gospel. And the more wicked the culture, the more effective often our preaching becomes. So what a time, and we completely agree with that. Recall last week, the day after the election, our message here at Bob Benyart Live was don't grow weary. So I'd like to share with you some of the particulars about this homosexual who, after all these years, and that reminds me too of what happened with my grandfather, not quite my father, although there's some similarity there, the years it took sharing the gospel before he became a believer. And then my grandfather, wow, many years, until he wasn't quite on his deathbed, but he was in the hospital, and he did die shortly thereafter. But he finally became a believer. What an honor I had flying back from Israel and leaving the airport in New York, getting to New Jersey to the hospital where he was at, and sharing the gospel with him and him praying to receive the Lord. Really extraordinary. So that was like with this homosexual, that was after many, many years. And recall that Jesus teaching that some people will trust in him at the very last moment of their life, like the criminal on the cross, and yet inherit eternal life, just like someone who turned to him early in their life and served him for 50 years and then went to be with him, and they both get the reward of eternal life. And there are people to this day, even though Jesus explained this, there are people who say, well, that's not fair. Why should somebody, right before they die, and this homosexual friend of ours, acquaintance, he's not on his deathbed either, but he's getting close. He could see it from here. So sadly, that's often what it takes to get people to consider their own inability. They didn't have the ability to bring themselves into this world, right? When you're conceived and you're a baby and you're born, and you're not the one who gives yourself your natural talents and abilities. You could train them, hone them, exercise them. And once you pass on to the afterlife, you do not have the wherewithal to make sure that you will be okay. Only our Creator God can do these things, and he does these things, including for those who go to be with him, enabling them to enjoy forever friendship, fellowship, love. The joy of getting together and sharing a meal, having a feast, listening to a concert, writing a book, writing a song, gardening, all the things that God made Adam and Eve to do in the Garden of Eden here on earth when it was perfect, we will be able to do all these things with the exception of having children. Jesus explained, and for reasons we perfectly understand, that when we go to be with the Lord, that's the one thing that God gave Adam and Eve the ability to do that we will not do. And of course, it needs to be that way, because otherwise the rebellion would continue for eternity. The rebellion would never come to an end, because every new child conceived would decide for himself whether to humble himself and love the Lord his God, or rebel against him and hate God and hate others and hate himself. So because God has decided that the eternity we will experience in the afterlife will not be a continuous suffering and sorrow, he has created us so that we could reproduce, procreation here on this earth, but that ends when we go to the afterlife. Okay, also on today's program, CNN, to psychoanalyze them, to get beyond their lies. Apparently now they actually believe that Joe Biden won. In other words, they're not just lying. Now it does appear that they actually believe that. I'll tell you why it is that we've come to that conclusion. And also, cheating in an election. We talked about this briefly during yesterday's sermon at Denver Bible Church. There are no consequences for cheating in an election, basically, not for the candidate, not for the party, not for the campaign. Yeah, for the deserving slob who gets caught doing the cheating, there could be consequences for him, maybe a fine, maybe a short time in jail. And maybe they take away, if they found 30 votes or 3,000 votes that were fraudulent, yeah, they may remove those votes. But the consequence for cheating should be, as in sports, if you are an Olympic runner or even in high school on the track team, and they find out that you cheated, it's not that they take 2 seconds off your time. You forfeit the race. And generally speaking, we'll talk about this in some additional detail in a moment, but generally speaking, that's how it should work in an election. So as you and I and the rest of the world, we try to understand what's been going on with the coronavirus, we have pointed out that in this country, a tremendous amount of the fear tactics and the overreach has to do with the hatred of Donald Trump. Now, that doesn't explain the reaction to the coronavirus in scores of countries around the world. To some lesser degree, yes, because America's politics, they do affect the whole world. That's true. But generally speaking, in America, the extreme reaction to COVID-19 is, of course, twofold. One, and primarily, it has been to hurt Donald Trump and to defeat him in the election. And secondarily, of course, being a control freak, inside the dark soul of every evil tyrant beats an HOA president. Right? Human beings are control freaks, and the left just wantonly so. And so what an opportunity. They're already ginning up their base as fearmongers by the millions to defeat Trump. So why not also use that as yet another power grab? So easy to analyze. Well, CNN, they have had on their screen, it's been the ever-present graphic of the COVID-19 cases and deaths. How many cases, how many deaths, that, how many total deaths. It's been there for, what, 5 months? And this morning it was gone. Not that they'll never bring it back, but this morning it was gone. And so what that means, to psychoanalyze them, that means that they do believe now that Joe Biden won, or if there was cheating, that it's beyond Donald Trump's ability to rectify the cheating if there was cheating. Right now, the anecdotal evidence of cheating and irregularities, the most significant appears to be the Dominion software used in Michigan, the one county where 3,000 votes, not 6,000, but 3,000 votes were switched from Donald Trump and the Republicans to Joe Biden. So that does give you a 6,000 vote swing in the tally, but it's the change of the intention of 3,000 voters, not 6,000 voters, that was inflated right before our eyes last week by Sean Hannity, and the 6,000 has stuck. But either way, it's, of course, significant. And the claim is that that software has been used not only in that one county in Michigan, but 47 counties, and not only in that one state, but 30 states, including in all the battleground states. So all that is relevant if, in fact, based on our broken democratic system, the way it works, if you can show that that either glitch or intentional fraud has flipped enough votes so that when you correct them, Donald Trump actually won those states. So, of course, the media doesn't care whether that's the case or not. The Democratic Party doesn't care whether that's the case or not. The half of the country that voted for Joe Biden, they don't care whether that's the case or not. It would be interesting for Donald Trump if he had one best example, and perhaps it's the software, if he had one best example when he speaks publicly to ask Joe Biden, Joe, if you actually lost, would you want to know? And ask the media and the New York Times, the Associated Press, Fox News even. If the Democrats actually lost, would you want to know if this computer glitch turns out not to be a glitch and it switched votes in all these counties in Michigan and all these states around the U.S., would you even want to know? And of course, they wouldn't want to know. And none of them would say, yes, of course, we would want to know. They just couldn't get themselves to say that. But the fact that CNN brought down that ever-present graphic this morning, and again, they'll probably put it back up for just to pretend that they're even-handed for a short amount of time. But that shows that they really think that Joe Biden has got it because they have been using the coronavirus as a political weapon to scare people into voting for Biden. So that's obvious. It's easy to psychoanalyze them. And they reported that Pfizer, the Pfizer vaccine, it is 90% effective. And so not all the Democrats will be on the same page, and they won't all get the memo immediately that they have to start being optimistic if, in fact, Joe Biden does take the presidency. But over time, then sure, the left can at least modify their COVID propaganda. But back to this point about cheating. What are the consequences to election cheating for the campaign, for the politician, for the party? Virtually nothing, right? Democrats always favor laws that make it easier to cheat because they intuitively know that cheating favors Democrats. Let me give you an example. If there's something as seemingly innocent, maybe, as mailing out 10,000 ballots to people who may have moved or died, even though Republicans move and die at about the same rate as Democrats, right? So you'd think, well, half of those will be Republicans, half of those will be Democrats. You might think there'd be no partisan advantage to such a thing, but the Democrats know, even if they don't discuss it out loud, they know that their people are far more likely to cheat and to send in ballots for the recently departed, whether departed out of state or departed to the afterlife. It's not that Republicans can't do this. Republicans do this also. You know, human beings are liars. They're untruthful. Jesus said that the majority are headed to hell on the wide road, and the minority take the narrow road to eternal life. So human beings are fallen. The left says that people are basically good, and they only say that because they've never read a history book, a newspaper. They've never gone to family court. So they say people are basically good. Fine. But regardless, the Democrats know, and that's why they always advocate for laws that make it easier to cheat. Now, what is the punishment for cheating in America's election system? Well, it's rather bizarre to try to improve a democratic system because the very concept of democracy itself is inherently corrupt. So just like you don't want to improve the functioning of a brothel, it's really bizarre to try to improve the democratic process. But just bear with me on this. If you were going to try to fix the unfixable, like a democratic election, then the penalty for cheating would not be non-existent as in America, but it would be as in sports. In the Olympics, I mentioned earlier, or even a high school track meet, if a runner cheats, you don't subtract 3 seconds from his time, do you? Is that what you do? No, he forfeits the race. That's what happens. So likewise, in a democratic election, proof of voter fraud shouldn't just subtract the number of votes illegally gained, because if one side is cheating extensively, you're not going to find all their cheating. So they cheat so much that it's almost impossible to hide it all, and you find across the country 32 instances of cheating, when really there were 3,200 instances. You're not going to find it all, but you find some. So just reversing the handful of votes that you find that were fraudulent, that's not an equitable punishment. The race itself should be forfeited. The candidate should lose. Even if it were only one vote, let alone the tally of thousands of wrongly counted votes already uncovered in the 2020 presidential election, if the candidate knew or should have known, if the campaign knew or should have known, if the party knew or should have known, if the campaign or party officials knew or should have known, then the race should be forfeited, such that if those were the rules, then the Democratic Party, rather than being a hotbed of voter corruption, would actually have to police its own people. They'd have to be the ones to make sure that their side is not cheating. But set all that aside, because it's nothing more than rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. This election is doing magnified what countless previous elections have done, illustrating what we have said on this program for 30 years, that democracy is the most divisive of all forms of government. Democracy pits brother against brother. Ha! It even pits diehard Fox News viewers against the network, right? They turned on a dime the minute the network called Arizona for Biden, or they waited an extra 5 hours to call Florida for Trump. I mean, that's it. And then they called the entire election for Joe Biden, president-elect. And so the Fox News viewers who have suckled at that network's programming for years, undoubtedly consuming 1,000 times as many words from the Fox News Channel as they have from the Word of God. And boy, did they turn on them. It's very reminiscent of the Democrats in the left being so fond of the Russians, Moscow, even the Soviet Union. You go back a century. They were so fond of Moscow. And the fact that Moscow slaughtered tens of millions of their own people, that meant nothing to the left. It meant nothing at all. Nothing. But let them think that the Russians cost them one election, and on a dime, they hate Russia. They hate Russia. They hate the Russians. They hate Moscow. They hate Putin, and they loved him. Hillary had her Russia reset button. She gave a gift. She's a mental case, but more so evil. They love the Russians. When Mitt Romney, who's evil, just go to prolifeprofiles.com/Romney. When Mitt Romney said in debate that the greatest threat to America today is Russia, and he was wrong for China, but still, when he said that, they cackled and mocked him. What did Obama say? Oh, the 1990s are calling. They want their foreign policy back. So they're just mocking Mitt Romney for saying the Russians are the enemy, and they cost them one election, and they have a seething hatred of the Russians. One election, slaughtering millions and millions of people, irrelevant, and we're not talking about babies in the womb, because they did that too, add many, many, many more millions of innocent, but they couldn't care less about those babies. So the people they pretend to care about, walking around people, Moscow slaughters millions of those people, and the left couldn't care less. But now they hate them the way the diehard Fox News viewer hates the Fox News Channel, and the way brother hates brother and mother hates daughter. It's all the same. So democracy is the most divisive. I mean, that's not the proof. We have on our website, kgov.com/democracy, we lay out the case. You can listen to it. You could read the bulleted list there. And consider also, I mean, this is somewhat of a minor point, but consider the Jewish nature of the state of Israel, right? When Israel was reestablished as a nation, May 14th, 1948, a vast majority of the country was Jewish. Now, it still is the vast majority, but a very small percentage of the country was Arab. And every year, those percentages have been getting closer. We have a chart on our website that we've produced, kgov.com/democracy, and you could see that the number of Jews percentage-wise in Israel is declining while the number of Arabs percentage-wise is increasing, and in absolute population numbers also for the Arab population of Israel. And so eventually what will happen, Israel will commit democratic suicide, of course. Now, one main reason is because their love of abortion, like all leftists around the world, and their war on children, the unborn child. And so, as was true in the Old Testament, as is true today for Israel and America, and in fact, every nation in the world, most of the danger that they experience, most of the risk, is their own doing. Generally speaking, throughout history, true of every nation and all peoples. Right? Germany, the destruction of Germany in World War II. And you know what would have been worse for Germany than losing the war and having their cities demolished, like Dresden and other? You know what would have been worse for them? Far worse? If they would have prevailed. If Germany would have won the war, do you realize how much worse it would have been for them? And for Germany too, although there it's so overtly obvious, their destruction, just like America's moral destruction, just like in Israel today, their moral destruction, pornography, divorce, and so on, leftism, socialism. It is overwhelmingly because of our own sin, just as for each individual, it is our own sin that does the greatest damage to us. And that includes me in my life. Now, I mentioned a homosexual that we, people here at Baba Nyert Live, people in the studio, staff members, a very well-known homosexual who we have shared the gospel with over the years. And by over the years, I mean we've been on the air for 30 years. I mean for 30 years. And some of that on the phone, some in person, and always strong resistance to the gospel. And now this homosexual, he's 30 years older than he used to be, and a lot of don't last that long, actually. And he is not doing well physically, and we have always loved him, cared about him, prayed for him. In fact, how long ago was it? One of our staffers and I went to meet with him at a restaurant, and that was Al Sharon. But Al, he went to be with the Lord a couple years ago. So assuming this homosexual is now a believer, there is more celebration in heaven right now for this one than there has been for 99 others who didn't need to repent. So Al, we call him Pops. Pops, you know better than we know what's happened today. Because people, of course, it matters what is in their heart. But when Pops and I met with this somewhat famous homosexual, wildly wealthy, wildly successful, he said, oh, I've always believed. I mean, he lives his life as though there is no God, of course. And he actually promotes sexual immorality. That's been like his life's work, promoting homosexuality. And so we tell him about the Lord, about God. He says, I have always believed in God. And I said, yeah, but we're talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. He said, I always believed that. And I said, called him by name in person, if you believe that, why have you never told anyone? It's the greatest event in the history of mankind that God the Son would become flesh, live a sinless life, be crucified, and be raised from the dead so that all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And you say you believe in that and you never told a single person? I mean, have you told your own kid? Have you told your brother? Have you told anybody? You've never told a single soul, which tells us that you don't believe. You're just lying to yourself and to others. And so this morning, one of our staffers called again, and wow, this person has health problems, and they are serious, and things are not looking good, and there's no imminent passing expected. One of our staffers called this morning and asked, now will you pray? Now will you say these words? Because we're all going to stand before God. And he said for the first time, he said yes. So please pray for him. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.